God, we recognize your goodness to us, Lord, and we worship you this morning. Our responsive reading this morning is from the third chapter of Proverbs, and I will read the italicized, and then you respond with the bold. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction.
For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delights.
Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today worshiping you, asking that you would give us a sense of your presence in such a way that we will be changed. We ask that you would just use us this day for your glory and honor, that all of us corporately together will know that you are God, and that because of that, men and women and boys and girls will draw closer to you. Oh, Lord, help. Without you, we can do nothing. And today we desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. I'm so grateful that today we are men and women of the new covenant, that you live in us. You're in us. And because you're in us, we can worship you. We can be with you at all times. We're so grateful for this physical building. It's a really, really nice thing. But the reality is that we can worship you 24/7. We can worship you because you are, and you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, and we can seek you because you are with us, and you have called us, and you are drawing us, and you, Lord, allow us to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need to help. And we declare that we need your mercy. We need your mercy, Lord, because we are fallible human beings. We thank you for your grace, the favor that you've given us, that you called us when we were lost, when we could not help ourselves. You reached down and you changed us. You made us different. You extracted us from the darkness and brought us into your marvelous light, and we are grateful. So today, we want to worship you. We need to hear from you. We need to understand what it is you would say to us so that we might live in a way that glorifies you and magnifies you. Have your way in this place, this day, In Jesus' mighty name we pray and give thanks. Amen. We are living in a very fortunate time. I know some people are saying, where's he been? What's he thinking? You know, I mean, this has been the funniest. You know, if you were to write all this out and put it in one of those shows on television, people would probably dismiss it because it was so unrealistic. You know, they would go, oh, it's just another zombie show or something. Because it's been pretty crazy, you know. You start the year out, and I was been looking at all the things that happened. You know, there's Kobe Bryant dying, you know, and people were, the whole world was so upset. They had no idea the stuff that was coming next. They had no idea that we would be having this thing from Wuhan. And hey, there's something going on in Wuhan, and you know, it might affect a lot of people. I think it might have started in a lab. I don't know. It probably started in a meat market. Oh yeah, that's it. Just anyway. So that goes on, and then suddenly there's a case here in the United States. And now there's a few more cases in the United States. Let's shut it all down. And suddenly, there's no one going to church, and there's church buildings. There are people locked in places and having to actually look at each other. My poor wife. She's saying, I like being home, but does he have to be here? You know, it was strange, and then people were saying, wait a minute, you can't make me stay home. You can't do this. People are out of work. Stuff's going on. It's getting weirder and crazier, and you know what? We're gonna fight for our rights, and that was like in this amazing upswelling of pushback, and kids are going like, don't rush. We're okay being home. We're out of school. Don't rush these things. It's all right. And so suddenly there's all of this going on. And just as it seemed like maybe things were dying down a little bit, maybe things we got to tamp down a little bit and things are going to soon get back to normal, there are things that we see on national TV and you go, that's weird. I just saw a man die on television. And it's reality, not a show. And reactions have been amazing. Everybody was shocked and said, oh, this is a terrible thing. But the reactions after the reactions have been all over the map. And it has been fascinating. And it has tested our character. It has not tested our character because we fell down on one side or the other. It's tested our character because of how we have treated each other. It's tested our character because of the way that we've looked at each other, the way we've talked about each other, the way we've thought about whether or not God is keeping us. So many people are acting as if God is not still on the throne. So many people seem to be acting as if, you know, we've got to do something. And let's pray. Oh, no, we've got to do something. Well, let's pray. No. That's a good thing to do. I know that'll keep you calm and make you feel a little bit better, but we've got to do something. Where are we getting our power from? What are we really believing? There is no better time, Christian, to dig into, believe, and practice because you believe the Word of God. There's no better time than to have the word anchor your heart. It is applicable to everything that we see. And I'm telling you, there's nobody that I've met yet in their humanness is wise enough to know how to navigate these crazy waters that we're in. And make no mistake, it's crazy waters. You never know who's lying. You never know who's telling the truth. You never know if there's a part of something missing in this story that we're getting about whatever the situation is. And the only way that we're going to understand what we should do is to allow Christ to live through us so that we surrender ourselves completely and thoroughly to Him. So the point of this message today is that we should completely and thoroughly surrender our life to Him. It's in Him that we live. It's in Him that we move. It's in Him we have our very being. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I. Christ lives in me. Let Him live in us, because when I don't know what to do, I know He knows what to do. When I don't know what to think, I know He knows what to think. Oh, we need Him. Oh, we want Him to have His way. We want Him to glorify His name. We want Him to maybe I should do the scripture instead of just rattling off of my opinion here. Chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 in Proverbs. My son, my brothers and sisters, this wonderful church, forget not my law. Don't forget what the Word of God has to say to us. You know, the challenge is that when all of this happens, we seem to forget what God has said. When all these things go down, we're looking for answers, and the answers are often right before our face. Don't forget what God has said in the midst of all of this mess. Don't forget my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It's interesting, he says, he doesn't just say keep my commandments. He says, let my heart keep my commandments. In other words, it's time for you to believe it. It's time for you to receive it. It's time for you to from the inside out to believe, the inside out to obey. It's time that we understand this Word of God really is powerful, really is great, and that even though things on the outside may look one way, how is it that you are on the inside? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have got to allow that Word of God that is percolating down inside of us to boil up and out and change the things around us. We can't expect that these things around us will be conformed to God. We can't expect that these things around us will get the job done. We can't expect that to happen. So we need something that's down deep on the inside of us, making a difference in us so that we might give Him glory in the stress of this mess. We've got to know Him and the power of His resurrection. In the midst of that, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, he's calling us into a deeper, fuller relationship. We are in a very blessed time because all of this stuff going on has shown us what's in us. You know, these situations don't come along just to shape you and form you. These things come along to inform you about what's happening in you, what's been happening in you. Listen, what's coming up and out of you is what's been in you. What's coming up and out of you now is what's been in you. So if you're bitter, then there was bitterness down there. If you're angry, there was anger down there. But if there was peace, well, gee, that means God's been working in you. If there's joy, it means that God is working in you. If there is love, it means that he has a hold of you. If there is faith, a faith that moves mountains, then he's got a hold of you. If there's perseverance and patience that allow you to make it through, even as situations are dangling all around you, you're okay. You're okay because God is with you. If there is real self-control, then that means God's working in your life. If there's goodness, know that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights above. You didn't do it. It didn't come from you. I mean, I know, you're nice people. When it's convenient. You're nice people when it suits your purposes. We all are when it benefits us. God wants to work, I tell you. So, let your heart, what's deep down inside you, keep God's commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. When you do what God would have you to do, you're likely to live longer than you might have lived if you didn't do those things. Now, I'm not saying you're all going to be 120. I'm not saying that everything is going to be perfect. In fact, we can tell that things are not always going to be perfect. But I will say it is better to live with God, that you know when you do die, you'll go on out into eternity and be with him, than to live without him. Because I tell you, if you look around, you can see that sin makes you stupid. Have you ever noticed that sin will make you stupid? There are the craziest things that we see out there. The demands on people's lives are just amazing, and what people expect of each other is nonsensical. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let those get away from you. It is time to look around and see all these crazy people out there and not hide. Maybe some days. Not run away. But it is time for us to do what Jesus does, what he's done for me, and that's have mercy. When you see somebody that says something really foolish, Lord, have mercy. When you see someone acting in ways that makes no sense, that is illogical, that is unkind, that is all of the things that would make your flesh want to strike out, that makes you want to run away, that makes you want to give up. When you see all of that stuff, instead of allowing your anger to get you all balled up and clenched up, have mercy. Just obey the scripture, because the scripture says, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. How did he forgive you? Let me see. Did he forgive you after you got it all together? Yeah, I know. He must have forgiven me after I came by hard work to the realization that I was a lost sinner. No, he loved me first. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He did it before I even had an idea of what I was. Before I was in my mother's womb, he had planned that I would be able to walk in his truth. He had planned that he would call you. He had planned that he would love you. And in spite of all of this stuff that you find yourself trying to get through, all of the roads that you've gone down, all of the things that you've done now, all of those things, in spite of that, God has so lovingly called you and taken care of you, and you have been forgiven if you will walk in his truth. But he initiated it. You didn't start this. And guess what? You can't even finish it. You can't do the next day. You can't get it right without him. We not only need his grace for salvation. We were saved before the foundation of the world. We don't need just that. We need the grace for tomorrow, the grace for today. I can't take my next step without the grace of a loving God. Now you may look out there and say, well, you know, there's people out there that aren't even serving God and they're blessed. I know he makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. And he has his purposes and we need to trust him. The complexity of the time that we're living in ought to make us realize just how much we need him. We've been looking for all these cut and dried answers, and listen, it ain't nothing cut and ain't nothing dried. It's a mess. As soon as you say, look at that, then you go, oh, but what about that? Look at that! Well, yeah, but this and that and this, and you know, I find myself many days, Can I just have a rubber room? You know, just every once in a while, stick a stake through the opening and I'll be okay. You know, this is an amazing time. And at first I kind of resented it. But then I realized what God is allowing to happen for all of us. He's bringing us to a point where we know that we know that we know we need him. And what a great place to be in the loving arms of our Savior, recognizing it's no longer on my shoulders. It's no longer something that I have to carry. I can cast all my cares upon him because he cares for me. He's got me. I can trust him. I can enjoy life. The Bible is true. It tells me I should all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, he's told me to rejoice, and I can rejoice. Why? Because the circumstances are all things that I can control? No, because I don't have to control anything. It's not my job. It's his job. All I have to do is to walk with him. All I have to do is to talk to him. All I have to do is allow him to be my guide and follow him. Let him lead. Let him guide. And I can, even if it takes me through the gate of death, I can be okay. Because the Lord is with me. He will never leave me, nor will he forsake me. He's my God. And I know that he is King of King and Lord of Lords. There is none other like him. And I can worship him and I can praise him because he's worthy, worthy of all glory, isn't he? Worthy of all praise. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You know, he's a good God. There's none other like him. He's a God all by himself. And I can trust him with me. Now, I'm a mess. I've recognized I still mess up. I still think thoughts and look at things and do stuff. And if it weren't for him, I would be hopeless. But I have found that if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But if I say that I have not sinned, I make him a liar, and his spirit's not in me. Don't fool yourself. See, one of the things that I detect in our culture today is people are so frustrated. Don't call me that. Don't call me an anarchist. Don't call me a bigot. Don't call me privileged. Don't call me foolish. Don't call me anything. Don't call me anything unless it's for supper. We're so afraid. Sometimes people nail us. And instead of being mad about it or trying to compare, but what about them? How about saying, you got me. Help me to deal with that, Lord. Help me to deal with that reality. Help me to deal with that reality in my life so that I might live in a way that glorifies you in the midst of this. I confess the truth of whatever that thing is. It's all over the place. Whatever that thing is, I confess it. I receive the truth because the truth set me free. I won't be bound I'm not going to be bound to some appearance. I'm not going to be bound to the lies of Satan. I'm not going to be bound to the expectations of man. I am not afraid of their faces, and there's some ugly faces out there. I refuse that. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to talk with him because I know that I'm his. So let not mercy and truth, please don't let truth forsake you. We are supposed to have our loins girt about with truth. You need truth to hold it together. You need truth to be able to do the right thing. You need truth to know how to go in and come out. You need truth. Don't let truth forsake you. Don't you forsake the truth in order to have your way, in order to keep your pet idea of who you are and whose you are. Let the truth be. Let the truth be something that you guard. So let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Keep them around you. And let your heart be continually soaked in truth. Because your heart is wicked. It can be a mess. And so if you don't allow your heart to be marinated in truth, no telling where it's going to go. I am moving at a snail's pace. So let me speed up just a little bit here. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It's really interesting. If you will live righteously, even when it's tough, you'll find that you have the favor of God working in your life. You know, there are some situations that you walk into that are really difficult, honestly difficult. And when people say things that are hurtful, when people do things that are frustrating, and you could lash out, but when you do what God would have you to do, when you live in a way that is righteous and your reaction is led by the Spirit of God, that you will find that even your enemies will be at peace with you. Even your enemies will be at peace with you. And so you'll have favor with God, and he will bless you, and you will have favor with man. Trust in the Lord, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Trust in the Lord, relax in him, let him have his way. Trust in the Lord, believe his word. Trust in the Lord, do his thing. Show that you are living in a way that you actually believe that Jesus is Lord, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Give it everything you got. Stop this halfway thing. Halfway is not enough. We're to give ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just our reasonable service. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. If you will look into the Word of God, you will find it will apply to the stuff that you need to do. And if you don't see it yet, keep on looking, because he will show you. It shall be health to thy navel. If you just live this way, it's helpful to your body, to your mind, marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Give, be a giver, be generous. It's absolutely necessary for you to be generous. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Oh, God wants to bless us more than we can ever imagine. My son, and this is the last section of this, my son, despise not the chastening, the correction, sometimes the spanking. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. One of the challenges is we've not recognized that the stuff that goes on has any connection to us. Right. this has real connection to us. Connect the dots. What has happened to you in the midst of this? Connect the dots. How it affects our church. Connect the dots. We need to see that God is working and correcting us and helping us. Are we loving enough? Are we kind enough? Are we generous enough? Are we obedient? Are we strong in the Lord and the power of His might? Or have we been trusting in what we could build, what we could do, what we could hold on to? The Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. If all of this stuff going on has no connection to you, that would be a very, very scary thing. Whom the Lord loves, He corrects. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delights. His correction doesn't mean He doesn't love you. It means He does love you. And He does care for you. And our God loves us. And He is trying to turn the church to Himself. He's calling us into a deep and full relationship. First of all, if you do not know Him as Lord and Savior, if you don't really know Him, if you never sense the fact that you have been saved, that He is your Savior and that He is your Lord, He has the right to tell you what to do, then today is the day. Don't go any further. Get that straight with Him. Confess with your mouth. Agree with Him. And say with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I thank you for delivering me, saving me, changing me, making me different. And even though I don't necessarily feel it, I know that I have been changed. But those who already say that they are there, are you really acting like it? Are you really living that way? If we find that we have been living at odds with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we need to repent. Change our direction. Go another way. Do it differently. Listen to the word of God and allow Him to work in you. We need to repent, and we are so touchy that we can't allow anyone to tell us that we are wrong. But I'm telling you that you and I are wrong if we say that we are never wrong. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And His word is not in us. There is so much more I want to say. But I sense this is the time to end. Today is the day that God is calling you to a deeper relationship. Don't settle. This is not good enough. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Lord, I will not settle. We will not settle. We're asking that you would lead us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you so that you might be glorified in the midst of this earth. We know that you could do it, Lord. Have your way with us. You who has begun a good work in us, please keep on working. Please keep changing us. Help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Putting on your heart, you can just stand in place. You don't have to come to the altar, but he's in you, so you might just want to stand and talk to God. Make the change. It's available to you today.